Jill Schlesinger is with us on the WBEN Trocare College Lifeline from JillOnMoney.com. Her show is heard every weekend here on WBEN. A big week last week, Jill. The Fed cut interest rates for the first time in over 4 years. Investors certainly loved it, right? And looks like there's a couple more meetings this year. What's the outlook?
So the outlook is, according to the Fed, this is not my outlook, they are penciling in another half of a percentage point of rate cuts by the end of this year. And when I say penciling in, they release these economic projections every other meeting. And you know what? They're human beings, too. It doesn't seem like it when you hear them talk, I know. But really, they are. And that means they're poring over data and they're guessing about what they think is going to happen in the next 2 years. That's a long time in the economy. So they believe it's basically another half of a percentage point by the end of this year and a total of about 2 full percentage points over the course of 2 years. This could change dramatically, and it often does. So I don't want you to get locked into, oh, I'm going to wait 2 years to buy a house. What you really need to think about is the interest rates are coming down. That's good for borrowers. It's bad for savers. And if you're an investor, drown out the noise and stick to your game plan.
For a lot of people, they're wondering, all right, rate cut, let's go. Half a point. What are you talking about? I mean, let's go lower and lower. We want back to where we were in 2020 or something like that. But You're here to tell us, and a lot of other people said, you don't actually want to root for that, even though you might see some advantages to that taking place again.
You know, it's like the old story. It's sort of like, don't root for 0% interest rates and don't root for us to have $2 gas. And the reason is that when you think about where we were in the economy, when interest rates that the Federal Reserve controls was at zero, or when gas prices were at $2 a gallon, it basically was an economic calamity, okay? The Fed has only been at 0% interest rates when we have had horrible economic events. Think 1987 stock market crash, 2008 financial crisis, or 2020 COVID shutdown. That was a terrible time, gang. I know you got really low mortgage interest rates, but people were losing jobs. People were dying. It was scary. We don't go backwards. We don't want to go back there. What we want is normalized economy, economic conditions, where we have interest rates at around 3%, people's wages are growing, and you can get a job. Like, those are the things that actually are signs of a good, solid, growing economy.
All right. So you can't time rate cuts either, right? I mean, even though we're expecting it, you can't go ahead and say, well, I'm going to wait and buy a house after the next Fed meeting.
You know, last week I was very lucky. I was out in California, which is why I missed our time together, but I was interviewing a housing strategist, a guy who actually predicted the top of the housing market in 2005, and he also predicted the bottom of the housing market in 2012. And I asked him, you know, what do you think? Like, should people just not buy a home? He said, absolutely not. You should totally buy a house. In fact, if you run the numbers and you can afford it, go ahead and buy your house. On the other hand, he's like, I really worry that people are spinning their wheels looking for homes when we just don't have a ton of inventory. So if you don't want to buy a house, you're not missing out on anything. He's not projecting that house prices are going up dramatically, nor is he projecting that they're going to collapse. But what he is saying is, it is very much a personal decision. And I think that is the best advice to give, that, you know, when you're looking at this, for a lot of people, affordability is a problem. We don't have a lot of houses for sale. And even though mortgage interest rates have come down, they haven't come down to make it rock bottom cheap. So maybe you rent and put your money away. You save for the time when a house is a more affordable option for you. And if you are worried about being a long-term renter, don't be. There's sort of like this anti-renting mystique in the United States, and we got to get off that. We've got to give people a chance to say it's okay to rent and also save money at the same time.
At the same time, it's, you know, for people who have been waiting for something to come down, whether that's the rate or maybe home prices. I mean, home prices generally, coming down a lot unless something really bad happens, kind of like the $2 gas thing that you said before.
Yeah, I mean, listen, house prices are not coming down except in areas where they've gone up so dramatically. So, I mean, in your neck of the woods, I don't suspect that we're going to see house prices plunge. If you're telling me you're going to go look in South Florida, Southern Texas, where prices zoomed up, yeah, they're going to go down, okay? But what is important is, if you are looking at houses, the most important metric is the number of homes for sale. So if you keep looking, or it's like if you're not into rooting for Buffalo, which I think is a bad idea if you live in your neighborhood, that if that's your weekend activity is not watching football, it's going to open houses, then go look at it as a sport and be a spectator. But don't expect a lot, because there are not a ton of homes for sale. And in the Northeast, where we live, there is not a ton of new home construction. You know, you live in the Southwest, you see tons of new homes for sale. The builders are offering big discounts on mortgage rates. All that is happening. That's also why their housing market is so out of whack. So the question really becomes, how much do I really want to spend in terms of my life and my time looking for a house at a time where there just aren't a lot of houses for sale? Maybe you just say, you know what? I'm putting that on the back burner. I'm going to make sure all that money that would have gone into a down payment, I put into a savings and investing account, and I'll wait until the numbers really fall more in my favor. And that patience, I think, will pay off for you. And I think it will free up a little bit of time for you in the weekends.
Good plan. I like it. Now,
thank you.
What if the economy starts to wobble? You know, we're going in this new direction. What happens if you see a wobble?
If you see a wobble, what will happen is the Fed will go faster. And so what that means is there are some signs that the Fed looks at. For example, the Fed's going to look at the job market. Already we know the job market is slowing down, right? We know that. I've talked about this on the air with you guys. We'll get another housing report, another jobs report in a couple of weeks. But, you know, if we start to see like job losses across a lot of different sectors, that's a sign that things are maybe shaky. Also, we could see that maybe late payments are starting to rise, or people are defaulting on credit cards or auto loans. The savings rate goes down by even more. I think that really starts to show the Fed maybe they have to go faster. So they're saying we're going to have a half a percentage point by the end of this year. If they think the labor market is rolling over and things don't look good, they're going to do it by more. They're going to lower rates by more than is expected. They'll go faster than expected. Some of the economists that I speak to, they say that while the Fed likes to go quarter of a point, like they like to be methodical, if the data start to deteriorate, they're going to go faster, and that might surprise a lot of people.
Okay. Jill, thanks so much. As always, Jill Schlesinger, Jill on Money. Hear her every Monday morning with us here on WBEN.